Guys, guess what?
What?
I was like, wait, no one's here to say what.
I'll guess.
Thank you. Guess. Do it.
Were you going to say that U Sports has 2,000 subscribers?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm so excited.
I wish I had confetti, but
I almost brought a balloon up.
I almost, you know, unfortunately, they shut down Party City because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go get one of those like confetti poppers.
They shut down Party City?
Yeah, they closed all the stores like on like Thanksgiving or Christmas or something this year.
Like I was forever? With
you. And I told you this in person.
Right. Is Party America still alive?
What the fuck is that?
You don't know? Party America? It's like the other Party City. Okay,
that's not a thing.
Spencer.
Caitlin.
I was going to say, I have no
of all people. Talk. Of all people. Guys, I made a joke the other day because we were getting cooked. The Nuggets were getting cooked by OG Anunoby when we were playing the Knicks. And I said, y'all are going to let a man from the land of beans and toast cook us right now. And Caitlin said, what does that mean?
What is beans and toast? Like, I literally was like,
that's all the English people talk about.
Beans, toast. Like, I was trying to like combine the word beans and toast to like figure out the place.
Yeah.
That like you were talking about.
No.
Party America, it's real.
How many locations are there? Are they only in Colorado?
No, they're in Arizona. They're in Colorado. Montana, Nevada,
okay,
Alabama.
Okay, either way, not well known. Anyway, Party City's gone. So I'm like, where am I supposed to go to get random confetti poppers? Because Amazon only delivers so much on same day delivering. That was a long way to say that. Thank you all so much.
Yeah, that was our long story longer way of telling you that we are so grateful. And 2,000 subscribers is like so cool. You might be like, wow, you're so, yeah, we are celebrating. You should see us get one new subscriber.
Oh my
gosh.
We
literally all day.
This whole morning, I was like, oh my gosh, we're 23 away. And she's like, oh my God, we're 22 away. I'm like, oh my, we're 21 away.
All day.
Five, four, three, two, one.
This is like a normal like Tuesday for us too. I know it's Friday today, but like literally we could be at like 1,722 and I'll be like, check out ours. We got a new subscriber. And she's
like,
wow.
Hey, we got three new subscribers today. So thank you to each and every single one of you that is already subscribing. If you're watching and you're not subscribed, I think that was a sign that you should. Okay. Click that link. And then there's another one somewhere over there. It's a thumbs up button. Like us, even if you hate us. And so click the like, click the, you know, comment. We try and respond to like every single comment. And hopefully we never, you know, get to the day that we can no longer do that because we love yapping with you all. And
it's true.
We haven't talked about it in a while, but we do have merch. And this is one of our shirts. It says yes.
Personal foul on you.
Yes, I can name everyone on the roster.
If you're one of our girlies, you know that when you tell someone that you know sports or if you like randomly start talking sports with a stranger that's a man, the first thing they're going to ask you is...
Name five players.
Name five players on their roster. Or like, can you even tell me the 1996 Patriots coach's dog's name? No, actually, can't do that. I didn't say that I was a sports historian with a psychotic memory for all things sports and their families.
Yeah, so we have a lot of fun shirts on there. The link is below to our Etsy shop. There's stuff for guys, girls, everything. We have just like logo tees, super simple stuff. Tanks, crop tops. I'm wearing one of the baby tees. All the things, regular t-shirts.
Sweatshirts.
If you're not, yeah. Sweatshirts, crew necks, anything that your heart could ever desire. Okay. Or, you know, if you're a man watching, there's plenty of stuff for you, but maybe if, you know, your girlfriend, wife, sister is really into sports, first of all, share us with her and, you know, get her a
period.
Present. Get her a cute little shirt. If you have a friend, you know, do all the things. So,
yep.
Thank you. Anyway, moving on.
Go us.
It's over. It's over. You know what's over?
The trade deadline.
The trade deadline has ceased to exist, and we could not wait to get on here and talk to you guys because, of course, in our last episode on Wednesday, we talked about the trade, but we also considered the possibility of Kevin Durant ending up in back in Golden State and Jimmy going to Phoenix. Well, immediately after we posted that video, Kevin Durant basically said, no way in hell am I ever going back to Golden State. So
literally, we get off of, like, we get off from filming and everything like that. And, you know, we go back to our normal lives. And, like, the first piece of, like, news that comes out is, like,
yeah.
Kevin Durant said he is not interested in a reunion. I was like, the way that I was manifesting Kevin Durant going to the Warriors, pretty sure worked reverse, and he decided he really wanted to stay in Phoenix. So I think that was my fault. My bad, guys. I am bad luck.
No, Kevin Durant said, Draymond still there? Mm-hmm. No, thanks. Hard pass.
I'm good. I'm good.
So instead, we got Jimmy Butler to the Warriors. Oh my gosh. I really, out of all of like the scenarios that were going to happen, I really didn't see, like, I didn't think that was going to be the way everything ended up. And
I didn't either, especially because they kept saying they were like, they were all done with Jimmy. Jimmy didn't want an extension. They weren't okay with that, like, blah, blah, blah. And so I, like, they said multiple times they were going to be, like, done right there and it was going to be no longer. But, of course, as the Warriors do, they do a whole lot of yapping and not a lot of doing. And no one was left. All the people that they were after. Yeah. All the people that they were after were no longer available. And then suddenly they're desperate and they go get Jimmy. And I've had 2 days to think about it. I keep thinking, I'm like, Spencer's going to ask me how I feel about it. And I don't know what my answer is going to be yet.
Well, not only did the Warriors get Jimmy Butler, but they're paying him a boatload of money.
$121 million for 2 years.
2 years.
Two.
Why?
Two of them.
Two whole years. And if you don't know, because you are new, Caitlin's from Colorado. I live in Denver. She's now in Arizona. We are both Denver Nuggets fans, but Caitlin loves a lot of teams. So Steph Curry's her favorite player. So she's also a Warriors fan. So when you hear me ask, how do you feel about it? And you're confused because you're like, I'm confused. I thought you were Nuggets fans. Caitlin is a fan of a lot of things.
I'm a fan of pretty much everything. Nuggets. Yeah. Yeah. No, if you put a basketball in someone's hand and I like watch them play for more than 10 seconds, I'm like, you know what? I think I like them. I think that's my new team.
I like watching certain teams, but I will never like I get very competitive about basketball. Anyway, moving on.
That's true.
So, yes, Caitlin, how do you feel that your other team has gone to spend $121 million on Jimmy effing Butler, especially after all his shenanigans?
You know, I'm still so back and forth about how I feel. I think I'm kind of all over the place about it because I'll start from like just the beginning. We traded Jimmy Butler to the Warriors, or we traded for Jimmy Butler. He came obviously from the Heat to the Warriors. And we lost Andrew Wiggins, Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Anderson, and a first-round pick. And I don't necessarily think that that's a horrible loss, minus Andrew Wiggins. Like, Andrew Wiggins has been such an integral part of our team. And just, like, you know, not only... Yes, he's our champion. He's our champ. But, like, not only... is he like such a great part of our team basketball wise, but he is like such a big like heart and soul piece of the team. Just personality wise, he's the person that's like friends with everyone. And he's got like, this is gonna sound so lame. Okay. So don't make fun of me, but he's like the guy that's got like a smile that like lights up the room, and you love to see him happy and playing his best basketball.
Why do I feel like this is a true crime episode where
it is,
you're asking it them, about,
they killed him off.
Every time he walked into a room, he made his smile lit up the room.
And then they killed him and sent him to the Heat. That's what happened.
But well, they traded him for Jimmy Butler, so you might as well have killed him.
Right, I know. And like that's, and I just want to say that like, I love Andrew Wiggins, so I'm really going to miss him. I'm very excited. He's going to be playing in his Heat debut in the next few days, whether it be today or Sunday. I don't remember which one he said. Obviously, everything has to go through in regard to, you know, physicals and waivers and all that stuff. So I'm really excited to watch him. I actually think that he, like, if we're just talking strictly basketball, I actually think that he fits in really well with the Heat organization and just kind of like how he is as a player.
I think he's going to do well in Miami. And
I do too.
I think Miami's going to have a little bit of an, like, almost like an uptick. I would hope, just because, you know, you have Jimmy, who hasn't even been playing, but also like the vibes of everything that he's doing. And, you know, like, I don't think anyone was enjoying themselves in the past couple months since Jimmy was making everyone's life miserable around him. So I actually, you know, I feel bad because I don't think it makes Miami like a contender. I mean, I didn't think they were with Jimmy this year anyway.
Yeah, I totally agree. Sucks. I think that they have some, Miami has some work to do in order to like make them be a contender. But I do think that Andrew Wiggins was a really good replacement for Jimmy Butler, because if you don't know, like, just you general, not you Spencer, if you don't know, Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler are like two almost identical type players. They play very, very similar basketball. The only difference is that Jimmy Butler is a little bit more of like a facilitator. He does a little bit better with the ball in his hands, which I think will be great, because that's going to kind of take a little bit of pressure off of Steph in that standpoint. And you finally have a guy that might actually get doubled that's not Steph Curry. During their game yesterday against the Lakers, the Warriors were on offense at one point, and Steph drove to the basket, and four of them like all collapsed with him and were like surrounding him, and he was able to kick it out and give someone an open look. And so I'm like, you know, things like that are great, but if you don't have anyone else that can score next to Steph, totally.
I can't believe that they didn't have to give up Kuminga. And I also,
that was the best part about it for me.
Not to be mean to your team or one of your teams, but I don't see this moving the needle at all. I'm so sorry. I think that it could have if they had gotten one other guy. And I don't know why we've kept Pajemski. You know, he had like
future.
Well, he had that like one baller game right before the trade deadline, and then he was like back to his regular shenanigans. I feel bad for him because, again, like we've talked about him before, he tries so hard. His effort is, you know, sky high. Yeah. He just has a little bit, we think, of a sophomore slump, you know, and I, you know, he could all change. And
it actually has. He's improved a ton. He's like the last couple of weeks, he's kind of gotten into like normalcy, which is good. He's not breaking everything.
Well, that's
what
I was saying right before the trade deadline. And but what I will say is that I say right now, it doesn't move the needle for me. Like, I just think the Warriors have too many problems, and no offense, but it's not just the Bay anymore. Now it's Old Bay, because you have a Buddy Hield, Jimmy Butler, Steph, Draymond. And then if you're starting TJD, then I guess that's your only like young guy on the front. So like, at least they're experienced, they're vets. And what I was trying to say was, I'm fully prepared to eat my words, because we all know that Jimmy Butler can turn it on. Like, Jimmy Butler can do some shit. All right. He can take two literal bottom feeder teams and he led them to the finals twice. Okay. So
yeah,
I am not hating on Jimmy Butler. I just think it might be too late for him. We will see. He could, you know, he was showing up and showing out when he was fully ready to try to get to Phoenix or anything on the Heat. So like, he still got it. Okay.
Yeah.
But I also worry is, you know, he's struggled again, like last year that he ended up not being able to finish out the playoffs just because of was it his knee?
I think it was. Yeah.
Some leg problems. So, you know, like I worry about that because it's like the older you get, like those things don't get better, you know?
Yeah, you know, you just have to manage them.
Not everyone's freaking LeBron, who I'm about sick of dropping 30-point like triple doubles randomly at 40.
I had to watch it last night. I had to watch him literally have.
What am I watching?
I literally watched 2.5 hours like of enough. The fucking like, LeBron show yesterday. And I was like, you are 40. You're about to literally be a grandpa in this league. Like your kid can have a kid.
Like when does it end? This is how I felt about like, cause y'all know I'm obviously Jokic is my greatest player. So, you know, Shea's been going off. I mean, he's been going off the whole season, but specifically in the past like 5 games. And I'm like, we get it. Okay. Like we get it.
You're good.
Jokic is also going off, but it's so funny to like see those guys and you're like, okay, we get it. Chill. Can we relax?
Can you literally chill? I know. And I, you know what? I agree with your take about like this trade and everything like that. It doesn't really, in my opinion, like it doesn't fully move the needle. Losing Dennis wasn't awful for me. Like losing Dennis, he was obviously brand new. Dennis Schroeder was
Dennis
to the Warriors.
The Pistons though? I love
Dennis on the Pistons. I literally said he got traded. If you didn't know, he got traded 4 times in one day or was on 4 different teams in one day.
What a guy.
He obviously started off on the Warriors and then he ended up getting traded to the Heat. And then the Heat were like, well, we can't take him. So then the Heat ended up trading him to the Jazz. And then the Jazz ended up trading him to the Pistons by the end of the trade deadline. And the Pistons said that they want to hang on to him. And I feel like he fits into their system really well. He's got like the athleticism and like the kind of basketball play that they're used to there. And I think he'll kind of fit right in. It should be a smooth transition.
I think, you know, there's several ways you can use him. I think you can even like, cause Cade is so versatile. I think you can even, you know, put Cade at the two, with him in there, but you can even have him coming off the bench, I think, to just add some scoring, you know, when Cade, you know, Cade, God bless him, can't do it all. So I loved that move. You know, it's like, it's just, of course, everyone's still focused on the big things like Jimmy Butler and Luka and all those things. So yeah. I feel like there's a lot of guys getting lost in the mix that were like, little moves, and the Pistons have been doing, you know, centuries. I don't know what I was trying to say, better than they were last year. So yep. I'm actually really excited. I think this is a good fit for him. You know, I think that that it's really important again, where you are, you know, AKA Russell Westbrook, you know, fitting in really well with the Nuggets. And I think the system of the Pistons is going to be really, really good for him. And I've been actually paying a lot of attention to the Pistons just because I really do like watching them. I'm excited to see how he fits in. And I think he'll do really well there.
Yep. They're, you know, 7th in the Eastern Conference right now. So they're setting up to have a chance from being the worst team in the league to possibly being a playoff team. So that's super dope for them. I'm so with you. I love Dennis to the Pistons. And I'm really, when I saw that he was traded there, I was like, oh my God, please keep him. Because I'm like, Jazz, like he's got no room there. He would be okay, but. Exactly. Like, and on the Heat, he would be fine, but like, I don't feel like he really has a place there. Andrew Wiggins really has a place there because he's essentially taking over for Jimmy Butler. And, you know, so I'm like, those two don't work. But like, I saw Pistons and I was like, oh, I hope they keep him. He would just be so good on that team and in that system. Jimmy Butler, I think, will also have a pretty easy time shifting in to playing kind of Andrew Wiggins' spot in that starting lineup. So we'll see kind of how that works. Like I said, they're actually, They're almost, Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler are almost averaging like exact same numbers this year. They're both averaging 17.5, and then Jimmy Butler's averaging almost 5 assists per game, and Wiggins is averaging almost 3 assists per game. So a little bit less. And Jimmy, they're different defenders too. I think Jimmy Butler is a little bit better, I don't know, like around the perimeter. And Andrew Wiggins is someone that like is so athletic that he can always get up. He can be a really great rim defender or rim protector for being as small as he is. So I think defense wise, I don't think we really lose anything in the trade. I have no idea how it's going to be. And I don't know how Hothead Jimmy and Hothead Draymond are going to do in the locker room together. So
I can't
we'll see how
to
that
find
goes.
Out.
That's what I worry about.
I can't wait. I'm honestly like itching to find out. That was the whole thing. Is I was like, and then I just wanted to mention this because Phoenix didn't end up trading Kevin Durant, obviously. And a lot of people are talking about it is very awkward in the locker room over there. Okay. Kevin Durant's not happy. You know, Bradley Beal didn't end up waiving his no trade clause. Like, it's real weird over there in Phoenix.
And like, I don't understand why either, because like, you know, Kevin Durant was saying like, you know, I don't want to go back there. Kevin Durant kept saying like, I want to stay in Phoenix, but then suddenly it comes out that he would have been comfortable in Miami or even like Minnesota. I guess they tried to trade him to the Timberwolves like in the last like hour of the deadline.
Not that the Nuggets had anything to trade to get him, but he would have had like the easiest time of his life in Denver. Like I didn't particularly like want him just because I think we have so many guys right now to feed anyway, that it would just be a lot for a midseason trade,
totally,
chemistry wise, in my opinion, although, especially cause we have like a few guys that are injured. I just think a lot of it would be weird, but he would have had the easiest time of his life and instantly gotten another ring if he had come to Denver. But yeah, so I think it's awkward. Like, I don't know if they were kind of making it obvious that they would move him. And so then he like was like, well, WTF. So the only thing Phoenix ended up doing was sending Nurkic out with a first round pick to the Hornets. I think everyone is happy for that. If you didn't know, Nurkic last month was like, said he didn't have a relationship with Budenholzer. And
they hadn't talked in a month.
I think Nurkic is just a little bit of a diva. Like, I don't think he's the worst basketball player. I don't think he's like elite, but I think he is an NBA player, if that makes sense. So, I mean,
yes,
I would have probably kept, you know, what's his name? Mark Williams.
Yeah. Mark Williams. Yeah. The one that went to Lakers.
Yeah. But I do think if you get Nurkic there, where he's like a little bit happier, obviously, because he clearly was not happy in Phoenix, that he'll at least, you know, be playable. To the point where they
definitely
can,
in Charlotte,
where they can trade him in the offseason, and then they got a pick out of it. So I think that was kind of their mentality. But
yeah, I think they were literally just wanting to get rid of him.
Oh yeah.
Like in some
100%.
Capacity.
It's like how, you know, Calvin Booth literally sent Reggie Jackson with 3 second round picks just to dump his salary. but speaking of his name, before we forget about it, because we mentioned how the Lakers last episode had not gotten a center. They did get a center. They got Williams, which I'm going to give, if we're grading, which we didn't grade a bunch of these guys, but I'll give the Lakers an A, obviously. I mean, did they trade for Luka or were they gifted Luka? Let's be so totally fucking real here.
He was handed on a silver platter.
On a silver platter. Mark Williams has been, you know, incredible. The only thing that, as a Nuggets fan, anytime a trade happens in the West, I'm like, okay, well, how do they now match up with the Nuggets? You know, especially as, like, I'm sorry, but the Nuggets are Lakers killers.
The last several years, for sure.
So we're like, you know, Jackson Hayes on Jokic. Ooh, so scared. You know, and then everyone's like, well, Mark Williams, you know, Jokic isn't getting past him. Okay, Jokic already played him, you know, this year. Jokic dominated him. I think he'll be a good fit for the Lakers. I think they're going to do well. I'm sure. I would say, you know, if Luka comes back and he stays in, that – they will probably stay in that like fifth seed, the Lakers. Yeah. I don't know if they're the fifth seed right now, but that's where they kind of were.
They are.
Okay. And the Nuggets moved up to the third yesterday. Lakers are at fifth. I would say probably going to stay around there just I because agree. My thing with Mark Williams is, and a lot of concerns is the injury. You know, he's only played in 30% of games this season. And, yeah. you know, it is hard on a lot of like the bigs to stay healthy because your joints, like you know, jumping with like that much height and so much weight, it's a lot of, yeah. you know, issues. So if he can stay healthy, you know, he's a great addition. And then of course, I'm sure it's like one of those things where when people play with Jokic, they look like all-stars. Yeah. You know, even like our little bench of bench, like literally the backup point guard looks like he could start sometimes just because of totally. Jokic. And I fully yep. believe that Mark Williams will look insane because you have LeBron and you have Luka.
Period.
So, yep. you know, good for him. The Hornets, again, are stuck in purgatory. They're one of the many teams. And I don't know. But, you know, the Lakers yeah. got a center, and I think that's what they needed. I think that's all pretty much the rest of what they did, right?
Yes. And I just want to say, too, like, for me, I was okay with, like, the Mark Williams trade. I didn't love it because, like, for me, Mark Williams, like, he's a huge dude. He's another 7-footer, which is a true big, which is exactly what the Lakers needed. So good for them apparently, for going out and getting him.
They said he was, like, everyone has always said he's 7 foot. And then Shams tweeted that he was 7'2". So everyone's like, did he grow 2 inches or?
Yeah, I have no idea. And honestly, if I ever go to a Lakers game, I'll bring a ruler and I'll let everyone know and I'll just.
Although I will say he has also one of the longest wingspans, and I think he can mm-hmm. pretty much flat footed almost touch the rim.
Yes, he said his standing reach is 9'9". 9 feet, 9 inches.
Me too.
Period. Yeah, I just my concern about Mark, one, obviously health. We've already talked about that, though.
Yeah.
He's not an awesome rim protector for being that big. He's a fantastic offensive player. Like, he could probably score on anyone.
What Luka wanted.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say is, like, you know, he's the kind of guy that, like, playing against Jokic or playing against a true big, totally fine. Lob threat. Yeah. All day. He'll sit there and score on you all day, which is fine. But he's also very easy to score on. Some of the bigs have had their best games of the year playing against him because he just, yeah. and I don't know what it is. I haven't sat there and like really studied his play to see kind of why that is and why he's getting scored on so much. So I'll definitely have to pay attention a little bit more.
Out of all the games that I watch around the league, the Hornets are probably down there on.
Yeah. Also same.
Yeah. I'm not watching them every day, but yeah. So I agree. Yeah. I haven't paid enough attention. I agree, though. You know, he's definitely not a Jokic stopper. That's for sure. I mean, not that really anyone is, but Lakers needed a center and they got one. Yay.
And they got one. I hate that they got rid of Dalton Connect, though. That's what I was going to say, is that like them getting rid of him makes me sad. Yeah. And I know that Mark Williams and Dalton Connect are like the same age. So like, I get it. You're not really losing out on like longevity of a player necessarily, but like I just feel like Dalton Connect would have been such a good future piece for them, and it was a piece that like they handpicked for their team, and he's been so good for them this year. So I don't love that, and they got rid of that extra first round pick that they didn't give for Luka, and I find that crazy to me. Like, Dalton Connect and a first round pick, you really kind of are losing, you know, future assets and future players, people that could have been really good. Yeah. So I don't necessarily love that, but I do think that Mark Williams will be a great scorer. I think trading AD with Mark Williams, you lose defense a little bit.
A lot of it.
So yeah. So I'll be really interested that looks.
You traded, you know, a contender for a depoy, you know, half the season mm-hmm. for two guys that aren't good defensively. So.
Period. Literally. Yeah. For two non-good defenders. Incredible offensive players. But I saw someone say, and I thought it was really funny because it's so true. Someone was like, Lakers are going to be out there putting up 200 points a game. but they're going to be allowing 180. They're going to be allowing maybe 200 as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally. Literally. And that's kind of how it feels. So I'll be interested to see really how it works long term.
So, like, in my opinion, did you move the needle? You got Luka. Yeah. Did you move the needle toward contending for a championship this year?
No. No. And you know what? I'll also be prepared to eat my words if Luka and LeBron are just suddenly incredible together.
Well, I mean, they're going to be. You know,
I know, but they are.
You know, if you're allowing 200 points, I don't know. It doesn't matter if you're scoring 200 points.
Period.
But you know who I think did move the needle towards their hopes for title contention this year was the Cleveland Cavaliers. Another trade that people I don't think are talking about enough. Okay, friends. So the Cavs traded for DeAndre Hunter, and they gave up Caris LeVert, George Niang, and 3 second-round picks, and then a pair of pick swaps, you know, with all these, you know, the other rules and stuff. I don't know
all,
how that
all
really
the other
goes.
Fancy
all
shit.
The other fun stuff. But either way, I think this was sneakily an incredible move because
very small move, but very important.
Very impactful because, you know, you have to focus obviously on what's going to win you a championship, but you also have to make those moves to get past who is also in the running to get to the finals. Okay. And I think this was a great move for how they match up with the Celtics, because I think they've struggled with that so far this year. And I, you know, obviously the Celtics have just so many athletic wings. And I think that's
how they're built.
I think that's just what they were missing, you know, in the Cavs aspect of things. And, you know, it just reminds me of how it felt like the Timberwolves were built to beat the Nuggets. Like they were a terrible matchup for us when you have Kat and Rudy, you've got two bigs. And that's, I've even said, like, with the Cavs this year, having, you know, Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, also like another similar thing where they don't match up well with us as Nuggets. Twin Towers. So it felt like this was a total move that was like, okay, if we want to get to the finals, we have to beat the Boston Celtics first. And and I really think that this was a great move for that. You know, I just think he brings so much and is going to fit right in with his team and help them match up so much better with the Celtics team. And I think, again, because of the Luka and the Jimmy Butler of it all, that it's just something that like no one's really talking about, but I think this increases their chances by a lot.
Yeah. And I, you know, and I totally agree with you because like, first of all, shout out to Caris LeVert, because Caris LeVert kind of came out of nowhere and just was so great for them this year.
They're both great vets.
Yes, period. They were both, they've both been a really integral part of this team. Really great. Just team players, and you can kind of make them do whatever you need them to do. Caris LeVert is an awesome facilitator. He's really fun to watch in that stance. So I love that, and I'm excited. I hope Atlanta keeps those guys and you know, uses them well. But DeAndre Hunter has just had, I mean, truly such an incredible season on the Hawks. He is such a scorer. And I think with kind of Donovan Mitchell having a little bit less of a offensive season this year, like he's not doing bad at all. Obviously, he's got an amazing team around him, so you don't really feel the impact of him having a worse year than he has been in recent years. But throwing DeAndre Hunter in there, I think really takes some pressure off of Donovan Mitchell to be as big of a scorer as he was last year. With him kind of slumping a little bit on the offensive end, or at least on the scoring end, he can kind of focus on maybe facilitating and like kind of being that true point guard with Darius Garland, you know, as his shooting guard. And then you can have, and then you can have DeAndre Hunter come in as a small forward, or whatever they need him to be, you know, and then obviously you have Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. I'm like, that's a very impressive starting five, like, especially because DeAndre Hunter. Yes, he's an amazing wing, and
he's Go ahead. He's averaging this year, sorry, almost 40% from three on almost 7 3-point attempts per game. Okay. And these are the things that you need when you're playing the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference. Like these,
totally.
This is what's
important. Especially, yeah, you have the Boston Celtics, you know, who are obviously their easily direct competitors this year. Yeah. And like I said, you have someone like Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland who maybe aren't as consistent offensively. And then you have someone like DeAndre Hunter that you just brought in. And I don't think people are realizing the implications of trading for someone like DeAndre Hunter. Like people might be like, whatever, but this is a guy who is going to be able to just slide right into their starting lineup if they want him to, as their small forward. He's averaging 19 points per game right now. 19 points per game. And I'm like, the rest of the Cavs starting lineup are also averaging similar numbers to that. Yeah. Like you have like the starting lineup in itself is going to be freaking putting out 100 points a game. And DeAndre Hunter is also a decent one-on-one defender. I wouldn't say he's the best defender, but you know, you get him as like an extra kind of perimeter defender. He's a fast athletic wing, just like you said. Yeah. And I'm so with you. I think that they got better with this, and I think that it's something that people are maybe underestimating.
I think the Celtics should be a little scared.
Well, they're struggling enough this year.
We can keep on with the Hawks, because I wanted to mention this before we talk about, you know, the next trade with the Hawks. If I were Trae Young, I would be literally so freaking pissed because
I am so freaking pissed. You get me.
I get you. I literally just watched White Chicks the other day with the other last month with Rita and with Rita and Kristen, and I was just like cracking. I am
best.
Oh no, she's about to have a BF. A what? A bitch fit.
A BF. No, my favorite is every time I'm feeling really fat, i.e. today, I'll like literally sit there and like if I'm in like a manic, like freaking out, I'm just like losing my mind, I always try to like make jokes out of it. And so like I literally will like sit there in front of the mirror. I'll be like, it's Tina the talking dummy. And I'll just like sit there and cry.
Here's Cellulite Sally.
Literally. You get me. Such a good movie.
Oh, love you so much.
Moving on. Keep talking about Trey.
Yes, poor Trey. Save Trey. Get Trey out of there. So you're going to tell me you trade DeAndre Hunter and my second shooter like somewhere else and I have to stay here? Me? Why? No.
Mm-mm. I would literally be so mad.
You. And I thought it was a weird move by the Clippers. So Clippers or the Hawks receive Terrence Mann and Bones Highland, but Terrence Mann is an incredible player for the Clippers. You know,
he fits in really well there.
His stats aren't always going to show it because he's, you know, more of like he's a defender. But I just, you know, it's like, why did they do that?
For Bogey too. And I feel like, and like Bogey hasn't been having like his best season. I love him.
Bogdan Bogdanovic. Yeah, he's a sharpshooter usually, but yeah, he's not having his best season. And
he's been injured in and out all season.
And of course, like as annoying as it is, James Harden has been incredible and Norman Powell has been incredible. So it felt like a weird move to me. I don't, you know,
I agree.
This is one of those where it's like, who got better, who got worse? And I almost feel like, it's hard to say that the Clippers got worse because I do love Bogey.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I don't think it does anything for either team. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Like lateral move maybe?
Yeah, totally. That's really how it feels, is that like neither team got better, neither team got worse. They just kind of moved people around. Maybe it had to do with contracts. Maybe it had to do with just general fit on the team. Obviously, I think the Clippers are happy to get rid of Bones Highland, which makes me sad. Yeah. I used to love Bones so much, but I know. So I don't know. I'm kind of with you. I feel like lateral move is like a really good way to put it. Like it just doesn't really move the needle either way.
It's just is really athletic, you know, and he can pretty much guard mm-hmm. any position 1 through 5, totally. Which, you know, is hard to get in a guy. So it just felt, yep. it felt like a weird move to me. I wasn't expecting it at all. And then, yeah, like if I'm the Hawks, you know, they're, it feels like they're selling for spare parts, but you're like
1,000%.
Trae Young is just like trapped there. So I feel
I'm like, and it's just, it's so rude. Like if it's so rude. I'm such a girl. That is just so, so icky.
So rude.
Yeah, no, literally. But because like for me, if I were Trae Young, I'd be so pissed because yeah. I'm like, I'm having one of like the best facilitating years of my career. Like I and am you, now in my mother effing bag. Yes. And you throw everyone that like, I'm sorry. I can get 22 assists yeah. in a game and you're going to throw away the guys that can catch and shoot my passes. Be so for real. Literally be so like, I'd be so mad because now he's just like, he's a great point guard. That's just kind of yeah. sitting there. Like you said, like on spare parts, like you're just kind of getting a bunch of random pieces for that. Yeah. I mean, like Caris LeVert will be really good next to him, I'm sure. And I'm sure that Terrence Mann will be fantastic. It'll probably be nice to kind of have him just, you know, be a good defender on their team. I think that that's kind of something that this team has been not really needing. I mean, you know, they've got Dyson Daniels and they've got or they had Jalen Johnson before he got injured. So I don't know how I feel about that move. It's really, to me, it was a really random move. I don't think it really does everything. Anything.
It was very, very weird. And then what else did I want to mention? Oh yeah. You trade we talked about Chris Middleton going to the Wizards. We feel bad. Yeah. But then Marcus Smart is now actually also sent to the Wizards. Which again, if you don't know, if you're not a Celtics fan, which we just have so many Celtics mutual friends, that yep. we know probably far too much. Marcus Smart, you know, was like almost like the, cause I just mentioned Chris Middleton. So I was thinking of him, but one of those important guys to, you know, that Celtics team and, you know, like the glue and we have Aaron Gordon is our Mr. Nugget, as we call him, just like beloved by fans everywhere. You know, he loved Boston yep. and, you know, he got sent to the Grizzlies and then they won the championship the next year without him. And the amount of sad edits I saw.
Sad. Yeah.
Talking about, was it worth it? Because they yeah. had to get, you know, they got rid of him and then won. But now he's gone to the Wizards and along with Chris Middleton. And as two vets, I just feel like that's so mean and so cruel. because free those vets, man. Let them win one more ring or win a ring. But how do you feel? Again, we have Caitlin's last team to talk about. Caitlin's also a Wizards fan. So how do you feel about now that you have Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart on your team with so many young guys? So I think it could be good for them.
Yes. So that's actually, in my humble opinion, I'm very excited about it. We obviously, I was like really weirded out with all the trades like going out because Jonas Valanciunas, while we're talking about the Wizards, Jonas Valanciunas yeah. got traded from the Wizards to the Kings. And so they kind of got rid of him. Kyle Kuzma went to the Bucks for Chris Middleton and AJ Johnson. AJ Johnson is another first round pick. And I think we talked about that. Yeah, we did a little bit last episode. And so AJ Johnson, such a dog, such an athlete. I think he's going to fit in really well with all the young guys. But I was so confused because I was like, then they were talking about how like they might move Chris Middleton. And I was like, okay, so you're going to leave Jordan Poole with the children? You're going to have 25-year-old Jordan Poole with the children.
Jordan Poole's daycare service. Daddy daycare.
Literally. Straight up daddy daycare. Okay. Ew, yeah. I'm sorry. Anyway. Anyway. But literally it's like, that's kind of like how it was feeling is like,
yeah,
just dad, Jordan Poole, and then a bunch of kids. And so I was like, what is this? But then they ended up kind of flipping it and being like, actually, we kind of want to hang on to Chris Middleton. And then they ended up getting Marcus Smart. And I actually, I really like this because the thing that I love about Marcus Smart and the thing that I love about Chris Middleton is that both of them are team players. Both of them are vibe guys. Both of them are guys that are like good vibes. They're fantastic vets. They've got, you know, Chris Middleton and
leaders.
Oh my gosh. Yes, they're leaders. Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart both have championship experience. Like, they're both playoff experienced guys. Jordan Poole has obviously won a championship. Jordan Poole and Marcus Smart played against each other in 2022-2023 finals. And I just like the three of them as their vets. Obviously, you still have Malcolm Brogdon, but I just feel like he hasn't like really like fit in personality wise. I don't know. Maybe I'm off on that. But so you have these three guys as your vets. And I actually really love that. And with Kyle Kuzma gone and Jonas Valanciunas gone, I mean, they've kind of given the young guys the freedom to like work. And like yesterday, I'm just going to read their stats because like I just, you know, you take young guys that have these kinds of stats playing against, you know, decent teams and you're like, okay, like we can make something of these guys. And I think that that's what's important. Like, obviously, I don't know how Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton feel about it, but I like it from like a fan perspective. Hold on, let me pull up their game from Wednesday. So they played the Nets on Wednesday and they beat the Nets 119 to 102, Spencer. They beat them by 17 points. The Wizards have like never been that high, like beating anyone points that they have never beat anyone by that many points. Like just in the last couple of years, they've been truly so bad. So having them be up on by 17 on a, you know, play-in type team is impressive when they're the worst team in the league. But so Bob Carrington, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 10 assists and a steal, shooting 62%. Bilal Coulibaly had a triple-double, 11 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals, and a block, shooting 55%. Keontae George and Keyshawn George, they're not brothers, and they should be.
I always get their like their names confused because they'll say one, and I'm like, isn't he on the other team? And then I'm like, oh, okay. No.
It's me with Amen and Asar Thompson.
God bless him. I figured it out now just because Amen has like been going the F off and
for the Rockets.
Not that Asar's not as good, but Amen's team is doing much better than the Pistons.
Yeah.
So he's just getting a lot more attention.
Exactly. Keyshawn George, 17 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, shooting 75%. Jordan Poole, 19 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, and a steal. Corey Kispert, 17 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. Rashawn Holmes, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Like, and these are all their young guys. Like, the least efficient person or, like, the least productive person in this game and on this team is Malcolm Brogdon. And so I think that, like, you add guys that have like the good vibes and someone like guys that want to come in and like be a vet, be that big brother, be that mentor and really help these kids. Like the sky's the limit, I feel like. And Alex Saar is still injured. So Alex Saar comes back and he kind of gets the chance to develop. But I think that like that's the important part here is that like Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart are going to be guys that do give them the chance. To really develop. And I love it. I'm really excited. I'm excited for AJ Johnson.
Any team, you know, once they got rid of Kyle Kuzma, I automatically said they got better. So,
and they did. Like, that's
they
the thing.
They could have just
that, like,
done that, and I would have said they got better.
Yes. Like, if you look at it, and I think I forgot to tell you this week, I think I was going to tell you, and I totally forgot. But there's literally stats of how these young guys on the team played with Kyle Kuzma on the court and without Kyle Kuzma on the court. And their stats literally, like, doubled when he wasn't on the court.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when
I mean, we noticed that months ago. Yeah.
I know. And it's just, like, it's crazy that, like, he was really taking away that much from them. And so I think without him on the court and even without Jonas, Jonas was a good vibes guy. Jonas was someone that got along with everyone really well. So, you know, I'm not worried about that part. But he didn't really fit in with the whole rebuilding team vibes, in my opinion. And for me, I just think that, like, these young kids now kind of get a chance to just play and legit develop. And like,
yeah,
they're playing so much more free and happy. And that's when you play your best basketball. And I'm excited. I like it. Like I said, don't know if Chris and Marcus do. Don't know how they're doing. But I like it for me. God bless them.
Literally. God bless their heart. Lastly, literally, I just wanted to talk about a couple of the teams that didn't make any moves and whether you were surprised. We can talk about the Nuggets first because I know you and I weren't surprised, but if anyone else was, just because no. If you don't pay attention to the Nuggets, you probably don't know and are probably like, they have Jokic. Like, I really feel like they should make a trade. We probably should have. The thing is, the way the Nuggets is set up, pretty much the only person we could have traded was Michael Porter Jr. And that they made it very clear they did not want to do that, which thank God, because Michael has now had three 30-plus games in a row. He is playing his butt off and he is everywhere. He has been playing insane. So I'm really glad. There's not a lot of people I would trade Michael Porter Jr. for. And I know like that shocks a lot of people, but it's just how I feel. But the way our contracts are set up, you know, Jamal Murray and AG have extensions starting next year. So if you wanted to trade those two, which again, I don't, never would, but you can't. So the reason Michael Porter Jr. was in so many trade talks is he was literally the only like asset that anyone might would want that we could potentially trade. Okay. And that wasn't happening. The only thing that the Nuggets could have really done yesterday was attempt to get some of our bad contracts off, which is, you know, Dario Saric and Zeke Nnaji, which you probably haven't heard a lot about because they don't really play. You know, luckily, because of the trade deadline, Zeke, and because of some injuries, Zeke has gotten some playing time, finally getting to play a power forward position. And he actually has impressed, you know, at the power forward. But much better. And even he was like 1-for-7 last night and it didn't feel that way just because he was doing other things like defending. It wasn't one of those where you're like, get this guy off the floor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah, he's been doing, I mean, like all things considered, Zeke Nnaji has been really, really doing well in the sense that like, he's not like a giant negative impact for them.
A disaster.
He's just kind of like, yeah, he's just kind of there and helping. And you know, he's had better offensive nights than, you know, yesterday. But I agree. I feel like we could have at least tried to get rid of it. Like I know the sweet Dario Saric girl really wanted him off the team. But I don't know. I don't know why we
there's a lot of bad contracts and then we don't have any draft capital because, you know, our GM did stupid shit like send off Reggie Jackson with 3 second round picks just to get a salary off. So if you're wondering why the Nuggets did anything, it's basically because we couldn't. They decided they want to stick with these guys. You know, I think when all of our guys are playing elite, we still have a chance to win a championship, you know? So
totally.
I don't think, you know, who got better, who got worse. We didn't do anything. So obviously we stayed the same, but But I do think because we had some of our other guys that had to come in and play for us, you know, we saw more of what some of our young guys can do. And it's not as miserable as, you know, we originally thought.
Totally. They've improved quite a bit, I would say.
But then you have the Timberwolves who didn't do anything. And I thought this was stupid. I mean, I don't know if they really can. I mean, I would assume that they could after they gave Kat away for flexibility. That they would be flexible to do things. And to be fair, the Timberwolves have had like a good past couple weeks. You know, last night they beat, who did they beat? The Rockets? Yes. Last night they beat the Rockets. Ant had like a 40-point game. He has had a really good few several games, but I'm not scared of them at all, especially when it comes, because to me, like when you have Jokic, in my opinion, and this can be a biased Nuggets fan, like there are plenty of teams that can win in a one-off, but I don't think there's almost anyone that can beat the Nuggets in, you know, a seven-game series. The only people I would be worried about, you know, is OKC in a seven-game series. And so I think that's like, you have to think about those teams like OKC and like Denver that have, you know, Shea and Jokic and those guys. And even Lakers, like, you know, Lakers match really bad with the Nuggets because no one can stop Jokic. But other teams, you know, that's how the Lakers made it to the Western Conference Finals. the year that the Nuggets won the championship. So I don't think the Timberwolves are going to go anywhere. I think they're going to be like the sixth, seventh seed.
Yeah, I agree. Know. I think that they're probably going to sit there. I mean, you know, although they have kind of figured it out a little bit over the last several weeks, they did just get beat by the Wizards last Saturday, which was a tragic at home in Minnesota. That's a tragic, tragic loss for them. But I just, you know, like I said, they tried, I guess, at like the very last minute to maybe pair Kevin Durant with Anthony Davis. And I feel like that could have been really cool, but it's
that
just
been
like
cool to watch.
It would have, yeah. It would, you know, be like very new age meets old age, and just two really athletic, really great scores.
Well, it would have helped,
been really,
you know,
fun, but
with the spacing, you know, Anthony Edwards has expressed this year just how much he hates getting double teamed.
Being doubled,
doesn't know how really he. I think he's starting to figure it out, but he's expressed that quite clearly. So I think that would have helped in that aspect. So not doing anything doesn't really do much for that.
No, but it doesn't. And you know what? Like maybe they're confident that like if their team just gets into the playoffs, then they feel like they can beat anyone in a 7-game series. But like, I just feel like when your own team isn't confident, it's not going to do much for you. You know, like Anthony Edwards, like you said, like has kind of expressed his lack of confidence in himself and in the team. And
I think these past few games have been good for him because he's back to his cocky self.
Totally. Yeah.
Yapping with Dylan Brooks and chirping at each other. So I think he's getting some of that confidence back. So that'll be good for the rest of the series. But yeah, the team as a whole,
they said
isn't unified or whatever.
Yeah, they're, you know what, like, and we talk about this a lot too, mostly because like we're girls and we love the tea and we love the drama, but like team chemistry is really important and everything. And I just think that like your team getting along and like having a healthy locker room and the sense of like friendship and all that stuff can really do wonders for a team. Like we see how it's done with the Knicks, the power of friendship and stuff. I don't know how it's going to work for the Kings with Zach LaVine. They just lost to the Trailblazers in everyone's first game, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, even like CB came on last night and was like, you know, like they were talking about the trades and he's like, we've like never had locker room issues. He's like, since I've been here, which is wild. And because a lot of people were wondering earlier in the year, like, is there locker room stuff? Like, what's happening? And he said, every guy we bring in, like, is great character. He's like, everyone likes each other. Yeah. He's like, we genuinely have not had any locker room issues. And I think that goes a long, long way.
It does, especially like. I thought that this comment was really interesting too. Kyrie made a comment today, and it kind of made me, I don't know, kind of made me think, but he was saying that like when you have guys like Nico and Jason Kidd in the background vetting these people, making sure that they're going to get along with our team or something like that, he's like, then you can trust them. And so I'm like, was Luka not getting, like, maybe Luka got along with Kyrie and not other people? Like, I swear there's still so much more to the story that we don't know. But just simple things like that, though, is that sometimes you do have GMs that really take team chemistry into account, and they're not just out there grabbing the best players that they can find. They're out there finding people that will really fit in with the team, basketball wise and personality wise.
Not the Warriors though.
sure not. And that's like, that's what terrifies me, because I was talking to Jason about this, and I was like, don't you love that we get Jimmy Butler like 48 hours after they released a bunch of statements saying that Steve Kerr and Steph Curry and Draymond Green were worried about how Jimmy would fit into their locker room and that he'll be like a problem in the locker room. And I'm like, and then you go and sign him and you have to face the fact that you just told him he would be shitty in your locker room. Awesome. That's so cool.
That's so sweet. I love that.
It's literally so cute. Oh, love that for
them. I think that's all I think that's all, folks.
Yep. I'm going to throw this in real quick because I just remembered it. De'Aaron Fox played his first game with the Spurs.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. He looks amazing.
Phenomenal
and
game.
Uh, He looks right where he should be. He looks like he is happy and exactly
better,
where he should be.
I mean, we talked about that trade last episode, but obviously, and we said the Spurs got better. The Spurs did get better. And it was proven in his first game. We are so happy you are here. And especially if you're new here, thank you so much for joining us. Please like, comment, subscribe. Check out all of our socials below. That's where you know when we'll post next, because you never really know.
And we talk about all the games throughout the week. We talk about, you know, the football games, the basketball games, all sorts
of
stuff.
You might have to mute me when the Nuggets play. I'm sorry. but yeah, we, Caitlin and I are always watching basketball, always watching all the teams. So, you know, if there's ever a good game on, you know, we're always talking about, especially like with the Lakers and everything going on last night.
Literally.
Yeah. So we're so happy you're here and we're so happy to be here. And yeah, thank you for 2000. We love you all.
Yeah, we're literally so excited, so grateful. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, share us with your dogs, cats, pets, parents, whatever, with whoever you'd like. We appreciate it more than anything in the world. Yeah, we've got merch below. Make sure that you buy it. It's designed by us. We worked really hard on it. So that's all I'm going to say. All right. But just kidding. But yes, like, comment, subscribe. We will see you guys early next week to kind of chat about maybe some of these games and some of these
how
new
the trades are
teams.
Working out.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye, friends.
Bye.
Adios.
Miss you lots.
Happy Friday.